Blog Talk Radio.
Gazette Online, and this is TS Radio. Our show tonight is based and pivots around abolishing probate. It extends also over into the actions of CPS, where the same method of operation is being practiced, only instead of stealing estates and kidnapping elderly people and isolating them, they're stealing children and parceling them out through the system, all of it done for bonuses and this, that, and something else, and it's quite the deal. I want to talk to you about a few things. Our guest will be coming on at half past the hour, and for a little while here, you're just going to listen to me run my mouth, and as you all know, I can talk forever. But anyway, first off, I want to remind everyone of the Whistleblower Summit coming up July 30th and 31st in Washington, D.C., and the public is invited to that. We'll be there again this year with our panel on guardianship abuse and also on family court, and this year involving medical kidnap with the intent to do away with the victim. And Yolanda Bell will be presenting that. As you all know, the story of Anastasia, her sister, who went through a horrendous, horrendous ordeal before she finally gave up. And so it should be quite interesting this year. We've got a lot of activity going on, a lot of people planning on coming to the summit. I want to advise everybody, make your hotel reservations now, because if you try to wait closer in, you're going to find that you can't get a room. They book up quite quickly during this time, and if you do get a room, it's going to be at a premium price. So make your reservations now if you're planning on attending, because otherwise, I don't know where you're going to be staying. That aside, we have had several things going on here recently in the state of Minnesota. We had the recent scandal with the nursing homes and the revelation that 26,000, once you think about that, 26,000 nursing home complaints had gone uninvestigated. I can't even imagine this. But anyway, of course, our state legislators, jumped up and all. They were appalled and they were gravely concerned and they were going to do something about all. Oh, this was horrendous, blah, blah, blah. And that got swept under the rug so darn fast, you just wouldn't have believed it. Everybody, all these massive, massive monstrosity bills came out that addressed everything in child support and foster care and basically trying to codify into law what is nothing more than statute, which is something we're going to be talking about. And embedded in this was the new Patients' Bill of Rights. And it started out pretty good, and it said that, if you were in a nursing home or, hospital, whatever, you had the right to visitors and that kind of thing, and nobody could prevent you from that. Nobody could make it a condition of your residency there, saying that, you couldn't have visitors. They couldn't make it as a condition. They had to allow you, the nursing home had to allow you visitors. And I thought, well, geez, this is looking pretty good, till I got down the line that said, unless they are under guardianship or conservatorship. So we just codified into the Patient's Bill of Rights the ability of these professional predators to continue to isolate. Now it's in the Bill of Rights, see, for the patients, to continue to isolate, to stick people into these nursing homes, isolate them from their families, from their friends, from their church, from whomever, and hold them hostage. And basically, this is what this is a hostage situation. These people are being held for ransom. If you are able to visit them, it most generally, not always, but like 99.999% of the time, is when they have put a security guard and a nurse in the room with you because you might upset that person. And of course they're upset. They want to go home. And they think you being there, they're going to go home. So you have to pay for that security guard and you have to pay for that nurse to be in there because you just might do something. Never mind what they're doing to them. I see my friend Mr. Kinter has joined us. How you doing?
I am blessed and highly favored, Marty. How are you?
Yeah, I'm still hanging in there, Brian. Still hanging in there.
Okay.
I had some correspondence with a gentleman named David, and I don't know if he pronounces it Jose or Jose.
Jose?
Yes.
J-O-S-E? Yep.
Yes.
No, David. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, and I had watched his video, Brian, that he had on CFR, you know, the USC Title 42 and all of that, and he went through it and explained everything about these administrative courts, what they actually were, and how the person sitting there was actually just a ministerial clerk. I can't tell people enough, go watch this video. This man's got the documents. This isn't somebody sitting there just running their mouth and saying, well, you know, that's what it says, but they have no evidence. He's showing you right on the screen, on the screen from the code, what it says. And you know, everything you need, every resource you need is there. And how these administrative clerks cannot act in a judicial capacity. It says right in there, Brian, that, what was it about? They are not, I made a note here. Let me see. It says that they are not sitting, they are sitting as an extension of as an administrative clerk for the agency. So this is, and this explained is like a big light bulb went off, Brian. This explained to me why they always act to protect the agency. They're, because they're part of the same agency, and their duty is to that agency. See, and I never understood that before. I couldn't figure out how they were getting away with what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yep, and I'll tell you, David, he's put a lot of time and effort into that stuff, and he knows quite a bit about it. So,
yes,
you know,
I want to get him
exclusively.
Yeah, I want to get him on here one night with us, too. And he was going through Title 42, Section 674, and this actually applied to the kidnapping of kids, you know, through CPS. But it says, members of the staff of abuse and neglect courts. Well, that wouldn't that roll over? That it apparently is what they're using also for probate. I don't know. This is, you know, I was just, for one thing, stunned at the level of what he did, and he put it out there so simply, and he's reading it to you right off the screen. And, you know, this is what we need. We need people like this that have firm information. They're showing it to you, which, of course, as you know, Brian, with a lot of these people, when you show them where it's at, that makes them madder than anything.
Yeah.
And,
But I'll tell you, Marty, I mean, you know, I just got back from Tennessee, and I tell you, there's a lot of things happening, and I think it's inevitable that change is going to happen, you know. And that's what I tell everybody is that we just got to keep focused, you know, we got to keep moving.
Right.
But I truly believe that we're on the verge of seeing this stuff all come to fruition, you know. At least that's my hope, you know.
Yes.
The question beckons is that are we going to see it come to fruition for what we anticipate? Oh, we're going to wind up in jail, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
How did your do down there go?
Oh, it went excellent. It went absolutely excellent. You know, Marty, I think you've been in this fight long enough that you know it's all about building the relationships, finding out who's who and who's doing what.
Yes.
Keep everybody moving in the same direction towards the same common goal, you know?
Yes.
And,
yes.
Connie Regulay, she was down there. Connie, actually, I sent her an invite to join us down there in Washington, you know, this coming next month.
Yeah.
Next month,
yes.
We're going to be down there. And I was telling
yes.
her about it and saying, you know, we need everybody that we can get down there, you know?
Yes.
So that we can have a good turnout and show people exactly what the hell is going on.
And you know, something we have to do too, Brian, we have to put together a table for that, for our panel, with information on it and, you know, printouts and things like that, for Monday morning. There is it's almost like a social gathering, but, all of the panelists will be out there, and we've got to put together like handouts, like about groups or, you know, causes, whatever's going on, whatever's your focus is, and that people can pick up and take with them. And it's like kind of like free advertising. But
amen.
Yeah, I don't know. As we are moving closer to this summit, Brian, I've noticed the threats increased exponentially.
Yeah, they've intensified. Yeah.
Yes, just a little bit, Brian. Just a little bit. And apparently, a lot of people don't like us being me, you, and I guess they're including Yolanda Bell in this now because she's with us. They don't like us. They could do a better job than what we do and blah, blah, blah. And so my response to that is, so do your own summit. It just,
amen.
I don't, you know, do your own thing. I think this is something we should look at, Brian. In the next year or two is actually doing our own mini version of the summit. I truly think we should do this and out away from DC because that a lot of people, you know, they just don't want to go there. I don't blame them. I can't, it's just not any place I would want to. Yeah. Yeah. And I think we could do this and, you know, find a facility and, or, you know, something that would accommodate us and do this out of state, you know, out away from there. I can't, you know, I just don't know. I know there's a lot of blowback against calls for judicial reform.
Mm-hmm.
I know there is a lot of blowback against calls for reforming CPS and APS. Like we're crazy. Why we're all conspiracy theorists, Brian. That's what we are. We're all tinfoil hat wearers, and we just sit on the net all day and look for fictional stories and tell people that it's the truth. You know, I don't know how many times these people got hit with a brick before they realize they got lumps on their head.
Amen.
You know, I just don't get it, but. So what else is up on the horizon for you?
Well, you know, right now you do know that I served all 9 U.S. Supreme Court justices on the 10th of April.
Yes, yes. And how did you get anything back yet?
I got if that helps. You know, more of the same old ignorance and mundane stupidity. But, of course, you know, Marty, one of the things is that John Gentry, who I absolutely have the utmost respect and admiration for, has done a lot. And like he's saying, and we're saying is that we're not kowtowing or backing down. We're going to take the fight right to the front door. And, you know, the truth is the truth. And it's not about where we're going to be compliant with all of your damn little rules. Those are your rules, not ours. And the fact is that, you know, this stuff, we're getting ready, John is, to file an extraordinary writ. We're going to be doing that and a little mandamus, but I really want to start supporting him because he has the people of the 50 states versus the 50 states of the United States, you know?
Okay,
Because we're saying that the people are becoming outraged, you know?
Yes.
Of the ignorance, and that's exactly what it is. This is ignorance to think that we're going to be led to slaughter blindly, you know? We're aware of what the hell's going on, and it's time that we bring about a change.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. You know, I was talking here the other night, Brian, about the fact about the birth rate dropping, the elderly leaving much sooner than they should, and the mortality rate in that group rising, and yet somehow, which means we have no replacement population. At this rate, we're at zero replacement.
Yeah.
In 20 years, we would basically fade out through attrition, you know, basically. I mean, not totally, but we would dwindle down. But at the same time, they're talking about how the population rose by 35 to 40 million. How does that happen? If these are the circumstances and you've got this declining birth rate that's been going on for 10, 15 years, and you've got an increasing death rate on the other end, how does this happen?
How does the numbers? It just doesn't.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Marty, and I've always said this when I get in business with people and stuff, and they say, oh, you know, we'll give you X amount percentage of the profits. Well, if you're the guy running the numbers, and that's what you got here, you've got the guy running the numbers. They can put any damn thing they want and make it look however the hell they want. And then you got to go back through and digest it all and figure out where the hell they just screwed you at. You know, and it's the same thing here. They talk out both sides of their mouth. On one hand, you know, the population here, the death rate's going up. The, you know, infant rate, there's less children being born is the claim. And yet, you know, our numbers continually escalate. So, you know, if you can figure it out, you're doing better than I. And here's what I think.
Yeah.
I figured that liars lie because they lie, you know, and that's what they do. Ain't nothing else to figure out. And once you establish that they're liars and you're full of crap, then you just pretty much they have to be removed and gotten out of office. I think one of the biggest problems is that our state representatives and senators and congressmen have a tendency to forget exactly who the hell they work for, you know, and that's been historically a problem. So I'm thinking that we're going to be bringing about some major changes here, you know, relatively soon. Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, Brian, it's like I was talking about the other night, people keep saying democracy, democracy, that's all you hear. We're not supposed to have a democracy. That is mob rule, and the mob is the Republican and Democratic parties.
Yep.
And
Amen.
That's who
Amen.
The mob is, and they are ruling. Yep. And when you refer to us as a democracy, you are forfeiting your representative republic. You have basically let them off the hook through your semantics. You always refer to our country as a republic. This calls them into obligation. And this makes them, they shouldn't, let me put it that way. At that point, once you have called them by their correct name, by a representative republic, now you've called in their obligation to you. And that's where things can really get sticky. And I harp at people all the time, read the actual words. If you have any question at all, look them up. What does that word mean? It's here in this case, democracy, people are conflating with republic. No, they're two different things. And it's like, you know, trade agreements versus treaties. Trade agreements are corporate agreements, government to government. We're not compelled to comply by those. If it's a treaty ratified by the Senate, then it becomes the supreme law of the land. And so it just, you know, there's a lot of things that you have to understand what you're saying, what you're talking about, which going back to this David person, I was really impressed with how concise he was with the information he gave and where it was located. This is information we need. And he said on there at one point, I got tickled, Brian, he said, I am not practicing law. He said, this is for entertainment purposes only. And isn't it a shame? Where is it written?
That we have to even give that disclaimer?
Yes.
Yeah. And here's what I tell people is that we're not practicing law. We're practicing common sense. And common sense dictates that your guys' laws have no force and meaning of effect. I mean, they're self-serving mechanisms that the court utilizes to beat you into submission to adapting to their ideology. Nothing more and nothing less. And that's why we're John Gentry's coming in and he's saying, listen, okay, we have the right under the Constitution of the United States, and that's what I just spoke when in Tennessee, and I was saying our judicial bodies were supposed to be the most helpless and the most harmless of all of the branches of the government. And yet they are the ones that have overtaken basically the other branches, and then they beat the fourth branch, us, into submission simply by a damn rule. And we're saying, no, it's high time that we abolish some of this nonsense and, you know, get back to common sense and common law and back to, you know, a person's fundamental rights being protected.
Yes.
And I truly believe and I hope and pray that, you know, President Trump does something. And at the same point in time, as I tell everybody, listen, I've been deceived in the past, you know, and I've been disappointed in the election choices that others make. But all we can do is keep fighting and keep taking a stand, because I think inevitably it has to happen. There has to be a change, whereas they openly acknowledge that judges aren't immune and that we can begin criminal prosecution and that we can hold them liable when they violate our rights. I just truly, honestly believe that. That's my goal. That's my function. And I keep telling everybody, you can fight and go through legislation all you want, and you can get any damn law that you want on the books. But if the ones that are required to enforce and uphold the law are the ones that's violating the law, then you have no law. This is,
exactly.
It's an absolute, it's tyrannical.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And we have been carefully coerced into this. And Brian, I know it seems like a long shot, but all of this fascination and attention to all these gadgets, your cell phone, your iPad, your tablet, the computer, this, that, and something else, people have stopped talking. But I think what they never anticipated happening, was what happened when the public could actually communicate with one another. Across the board, when you could put your ideas, your thoughts out there, you could, the hiding of the misdeeds of like government, virtually impossible. Somebody's watching and they'll put it out there. And, you know, net neutrality died today and the Senate has yet to vote, or I think it's the House. The Senate has already said they're going to repeal it. The House has yet to vote yet. Now, if net neutrality, you know, if that FCC ruling stands, what that's going to mean is people like you and me are going to be shut down. It'll be so costly to get to your site, to get to my site. We won't be able to do the radio shows anymore because nobody will be able to listen, because it'll cost them 10,000 gazillion dollars to do it. And it's a way of shutting us up. It's censorship. That's all the loss of net neutrality is censorship. And we've already seen censorship happening. Thousands of YouTube videos pulled. Facebook, of course, just got outed for all their crap. And I was reading, the BBC just put out a thing here about 4 days ago about how Facebook is whining and crying that here in the United States, they lost almost 3 million Facebook users behind that. Get a clue here. Get a clue. And, I mean, when you think about it in the context of they got, what, 2 to 3 billion worldwide, it's a drop in the water. But in one country to lose that many, how many did you lose otherwise? And,
yeah,
you know,
the thing is that it starts to trickle, you know. And once they begin to lose, there's more and more and more and more. And I'm saying the same thing, Marty. You know, we need to be out in our local communities. We need to be, you know, known across the country, though, as well, you know, because there's a lot of persecution in each one of these little hubs, you know.
Yes.
If you are in Springfield, Ohio, I mean, some of these bastards are brutal, you know. And I'm saying then there's people across the country that are watching you, they're watching me, and they're saying, hey, you know, these folks are right on track. They know what the hell they're talking about, and, you know, and that's what I tell people. The facts and the evidence ain't going to lie, you know.
No.
It's people that lie. Sometimes those people are judges. Yeah.
Yeah, more often than not. But, you know, it's getting people to understand that when you're in a, what they call an administrative court, you're not in an actual court. You're in a tribunal. Yes. And they've tried to justify it.
You know what amazes me is that, you try to talk to people and explain that to them, and they look at you like, you know, a deer caught in the headlights, you know. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, it's like, you know, but, and I openly acknowledge that I was one of those ignorant people until I got wrapped up in this court. And I think predominantly most everyone is, you know, in these tribunals, you know. Everybody has this illusion of justice. But there's never any evidence to substantiate the court's claim or the tribunal's claims. There's none.
None. And that's it. You know, when David pointed out and read from the code on there, and he pointed out the fact that that person cannot act in a judicial manner. They can't do that. And once they do, then they're open for lawsuit. But, you know, and just like they talk about judicial immunity, the Supreme Court came out, oh, they have judicial immunity. And they that stare to Cece thing and saying, you know, the issue's already settled. So we're not going to revisit it. Why did you revisit this? There were already three Supreme Court rulings standing right. that said there was no such thing as immunity. A judge could yeah. not claim immunity. That's supposed to be the expert in the room. And so, you know, but here again, we've got the Supreme Court of the United States. From what I'm told, it cannot be disbanded. I don't know why not. It's of absolutely no use to us. Why we should be paying these people. I don't know.
Well, see, Marty, and that's one of the things, like, when I was in Tennessee and I spoke with Connor Reguli and, you know, a number of other people, I talked with Lisa Blanchard there, you know, while we were there and stuff, and I was saying, here's one of the problems that you got. I mean, just like in our own case, we go into court and you get an order from the clown up there in the gown, and, you know, then you want to have that order enforced, and there's no mechanism to have it enforced. And I'm saying it's
right.
just a racket. It's a criminal racketeering entity, and it's high time that we open up and acknowledge the truth. And if I'm in error, point out where I'm in error, but don't just say that I'm error because it's more pleasing to their ears, you know, than to acknowledge
right.
the truth.
Well, with what David exposed, it explained to me, because one of the very first cases I ever got when I started out 8 years ago was a transcript from one of these probate hearings, these tribunals, and the person trying to defend her mother kept saying, we have rights, we have rights. You know, I demand our constitutional rights and protections, and this judge blows up, and he's just screaming at this woman and saying, you, in this court, you don't have any rights. You mention the Constitution again, I'll put you in jail. And I thought,
yeah.
what? You know,
yeah.
this is in an actual court transcript, which is why I guess they don't do them anymore. But, you know, I thought, how can you get away? What are you talking about? This is a courtroom. It took me 2 more years to figure out the difference, that there was this difference. This isn't a court of law. This is a tribunal. They can do any damn thing they want. And they do. And it just, I don't know. I don't get it, Brian. And trying to get people, and one of the things we talked about the other night was how people are traumatized when they're faced with all this corruption. You know, when they
yeah.
go in there and they think they know what the law is, and then to find out that the law doesn't mean anything in there. It means absolutely nothing. You're under statute, regulation, rules. That isn't the law. Those are artificial constructs, and they're foreign to you. This is a foreign organization that you're dealing with. It's foreign to you as an American who lives under the Constitution. You can't get people to understand that. Oh, no, it's all the same thing. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. You know, I don't know. I have days, Brian, where honestly, I just want to put everything down and walk away. I truly do.
Yeah.
Just put it down and walk away, because if you can get 1 person out of 100 to understand what you're telling them and accept it and show them where it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. I don't know. It just, what do you anticipate the response is going to be from the Supremes?
I think what's going to happen, Marty, is that it's going to be more of the same old, same old. I think that, well, ultimately what's going to have to happen is we're going to have to move into Congress. And I've got two people right now. There is John Gentry. He'll be testifying before Congress here in September.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologize. I just drawn a blank right now, but I was just telling
That's
you
all right.
they're going before Congress in September. You know, it's a full-time job
mm-hmm.
keeping up with all the madness and trying to
mm-hmm.
Navigate this stuff. And when we were down there, one of the things that I was saying is that, you know, it used to be where you could get an attorney to go in and, you know, really fight for your rights, but they perverted
yes.
it and twisted it and everything like that. And now, you know, they're in short supply. So $40.
Well, you know, and if you look too, there's things like torts, okay? And this is where you've been harmed by a government agency or official or something, and it, so you have this tort, what's called a tort, and this allows the citizen to file suit against a corporation or a public official. And that's real fine, except if you can afford the attorney, you'll be doing good. You'll have to sell your firstborn, probably two or three of your grandkids, just to afford that attorney. So this is another way they keep you out of there, keep you from doing it. The cost is so prohibitive from moving forward with this. And then there's all of this ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous stuff that these people come up with.
Marty, I don't think anybody realizes this, but, you know, I keep going back. There hasn't been a pro se litigant heard by the United States Supreme Court since 1978. And I'm sitting there saying, 30 years, Marty. 30 years plus, you know, or 40 years now. What are we talking? Yeah, 40 years. And there hasn't been no pro se litigant. And I'm saying, why is that? And just like you said, it's the finances. They want to shut you down, shut you up.
Yes.
And they control it. And everybody's so ecstatic about President Trump's nomination there, of course, kind of stuff. I think he's a putz. I think that, you know, anybody that goes out and has the audacity to stand up and say after it was Donald Trump that selected him or nominated him, to come out and say, well, an attack on one of us with a robe is an attack on all of us, it's like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? You know?
Yeah.
Are you running a freaking mob here, or what the hell's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there again, this man, I could not have abided Hillary Clinton being president, and I'm not a political party. I don't belong to any political parties. I don't believe none of them. But that woman terrified me, always has. His biggest problem, Brian, was he came into office thinking he was actually going to be running things. And he thought he could go in there and act in the Oval Office like he did in his businesses. He could throw temper tantrums, and he could do this, and he could do that. And who was going to do it? Because now he was president of the United States. And he got smacked down really good. And but he still... what I'm hearing around the globe is they're doing what they're doing to us here, the snatching of our kids, the euthanizing of the elderly, the theft of estates. This is happening everywhere. I hear from people in other countries who listen to our shows.
Yes.
And they're talking about they're doing the same thing here, Marty. They're doing the same thing here. And Germany here about 5 years ago started shipping their elderly out of the country into Southeast Asia, most notably Vietnam. And the families didn't know about it until after they were gone. And Merkel said, well, she said they were too hard on the American or the German economy. They just couldn't afford to take care of these people. But it paid them to send them there where they could get it cheaper, you know, get care cheaper. The problem was the families that contacted me said, we didn't know they had been shipped out. We don't know where they're at, and we're not allowed to contact them, which makes me, of course, wonder if they're even alive. You know?
Yeah.
You know, they don't know further contact. And they couldn't go visit them, nothing. They couldn't know anything. And basically what the German government told the families was, when you put them into this nursing home and they needed this care, you basically, and they basically, relinquished any rights, any privileges,
any kind,
anything. Oh, God. This is just, and like I said, there's
the common denominator. Have you noticed the common denominator, Marty? The common denominator is the judiciary. Doesn't matter what country you're in, doesn't matter where you're at, you have a select group clear across the globe that sits there and they think that they're going to rule the entire world. Look right there.
Yep, exactly. And there, you know, I call it the rise of the predator class. Who knew there were this many pathologically sick people? I don't know how you do this for a living and then go home and eat your dinner and go to bed and sleep. I don't know how you do it. And yet they do it every day of the week. And so it's just basically, you know, it's a strange situation. I think my guest has come on here. Hang on here a second. She has. Natalia.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing? Brian Kinzer's on with us, Natalia. We've just been talking about everything. Everyone, this is Natalia Dalton. She was on Luann and Robin's show last week, and she's caught up in a situation regarding her young son, who was the custody of him was given to the boy's father. Now, I'm going to let you pick that up from there, Natalia, and explain to our audience what happened in this.
Okay, so it was like 3 or 4 years ago. I filed something in the Alexandria court because my son was coming back every other weekend with like some behavior issues, like he would act out in school or he would lash out at me and stuff. And I thought there's something really going on with my son. And I was getting worried about him. And at that time I had physical custody of my son and joint legal custody. And so I raised him for 6 years by myself, and then his dad was seeing him every other weekend. We never went to court during the 6 years. And I think I took him once to court only because he didn't want to sign a passport, his father. But usually I was really good at co-parenting. His dad was more difficult. But before that, all that started, I was in an abusive relationship with the father. I had to, like, figure out a way to escape the relationship. He was saying that he was going to kill me and my son. And at the time, my son was like 16 months old.
Oh my God.
So I had to secretly, yeah. So I was like, and then he did a lot of really mean and violent stuff to me and broke things and actually did some stuff to Ethan as well. During my pregnancy and after my pregnancy. So anyways, I had no other choice but to leave him. So when I started seeing these outrage scenes of my son, I got concerned. So I went to the Alexandria court because at that time we were living there. And I talked to somebody at Legal Services, a lawyer, who only charged me $700 at the time, and asked her, what should I do about this situation? You know, I want my son to go into therapy. I was worried that he was seeing stuff at his dad's house. And this is what was causing him to act out. A part of me was like, oh, my God, is my son seeing the behaviors in the father that I was experiencing during my when I lived with him? And I was like, oh, I don't think he would act like that in front of his kid. And, you know, maybe he is learning some, you know, behaviors from his father.
Yeah.
And so then I got really concerned. And so my lawyer at the time in legal services says, well, why don't you open a case in the Alexandria court, the JDR, and we're going to ask that he get supervised visitation. And we're going to see if we can figure out what's going on with him. And in the meantime, because I couldn't get him to agree with me that Ethan needed therapy, I had to go to court and ask for that too, because he wouldn't even let me get services for him.
Wow.
Also, my son was coming back and saying that he was playing Halo, Call of Duty, and it was really bad, like these first shooter games. And I kept telling his dad, you know, our son can't be playing these violent games. He's too little for this. Oh, mind your business. And he wouldn't stop. I mean, even until today, we have a court order where I got that in place, that the dad is not supposed to be exposing my son to violent video games. And I have to say, even until today, like I saw him for 2 hours today, and he kept getting angry because I wouldn't give him my phone, which I don't really believe in games, but he wanted to search a game. So he's made him so obsessive with games. Unbelievable. But, the first 6 years of my son's life, I had him. And then in 2013, I went to the court and I got this lawyer, and it all backfired on me. They started giving the father more time. We had a guardian ad litem on the case, and she said that she told the judge that Ms. Dalton claims that there was abuse, but it's in the past, so therefore it's not relevant for this case. So she wouldn't let me bring any of my evidence in on abuse. which I was, that's what I really needed to show the court at the time. It had pictures and police reports and everything. And she basically told the judges that it's not necessary. And I think that she ruined my case when she did that, because it is very important. The courts needed to see that there was a history of violence already. And anyway, so then my son, okay, so in 2014, I was a single mom and I had to move. I tried to find something in Alexandria, but unfortunately I couldn't find anything that fit my income. So I moved out to Fairfax. Well, the day that I was moving out to Fairfax in the U-Haul, I get a text from my lawyer, the $700 lawyer, saying that, oh, I'm sorry, you just lost custody of your kid. And I go, what? So they filed this an emergency hearing in the court, and nobody notified me of it, not even my lawyer.
Oh, my God.
And then the guardian ad litem, I felt like I was set up. They got somebody from the school to go into the say in the court that I went to the school with no shoes on and my hair was disheveled. So not only that, they were trying to say that I was an unfit mom.
Well, even if you did, if your hair was disheveled, you had no shoes, what does that mean? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Hold on a second, Natalia. We've got a caller here that's holding on. Let's take this call real quick. Area code 303. Did you have a question or comment for Natalia?
Yeah, hi, Marty. It's Robin and Lulu.
Oh, what are you doing on there?
Marty, I think you've got a stalker. I think you've got a stalker, Marty.
I do, too. I do, too. Yeah.
Hi, Brian.
Call me from a secret number. I see how this is. And, okay.
I see.
Well, you're just getting started here with Natalia. So if you've got anything you can add in, because I know you've already interviewed her, if you can add anything in, please feel free.
Okay, we will do that.
All right, Natalia, go ahead.
So they said that I went to court disheveled and with no shoes on. So that was really sad because, I mean, I wasn't there to defend myself or anything. Nobody notified me. And they made my visitation only for 3 months until the next hearing so that they could rehear the case in 3 months. I tried to tell the lawyer at the time that I wanted to appeal it. And she was like, oh, no, don't worry about it. And at that time, I was just learning about the courts. I didn't know anything about the law or anything. And I was trusting her that she was giving me the best advice, right? And she said, no, don't worry. After 3 months, they're going to see that he does terrible with the father, so they're just going to give you back custody. Well, so much for believing in her. 3 months later, so the 3 months was really horrible because I was only seeing my son in the city of Alexandria at a park. I couldn't take him home anymore. My son was very traumatized by this. I think his dad might have told him, your mom doesn't want you. That's why you live with me. I was restricted what I could talk to my son about. And it was just a really upsetting and sad 3 months for my son, especially. It affected him emotionally. I mean, he was just like a totally different kid. He wasn't smiling anymore. He was angry. There were times he wouldn't even talk to me. I mean, the poor kid was like lost. And he didn't even understand why he couldn't even go home anymore. So on May 13, we went back, and the courts decided that because my son was already under an IEP at an Alexandria public school, that was more important than the relationship with the mother, and he already was established. He had already been living with the dad for 3 months. So she decided, hey, he's just going to stay with his dad.
Oh, what's an IEP?
Individual education plan.
Okay.
So they diagnosed my son with emotional disability. He had some behavioral issues. And it actually got really worse since he started living with his dad. They had to start doing suicide tests on him. They did threat assessments on him. And I brought all these things back to court a year later because the judge at the time and circuit court. After that hearing on May 13, I appealed it to circuit court. And so I had the Judge Kemmler at the time now on my case, and she told me at the time that if I came back a year later and I could prove to the court that my son's behavior had gotten worse under the father's care and his health or whatever, that she would give me back custody, that I had
okay.
a chance of getting custody back. So I believed her. So a year mm-hmm. later, I come back, and I bring her these suicide test assessments, threat assessments, all the behavior logs, all the stuff that he's done to children, like hit children, put little girls on the corner, smash their heads in the pavement. I mean, my kid was doing all sorts of mean stuff to kids, right? He was
oh, wow.
really angry. Yeah, he was lashing out. He was just really unhappy. And I was thinking maybe he's getting a lot of, the way he was treating little girls in school, it was so upsetting because it almost reminded me of how his dad would treat me. So I was wondering if he was seeing that his dad treat his girlfriend that way, and he was just modeling it at school. It was pretty sad. If you could see my son's history of behavior issues in school, it's just very traumatic.
How old was he at this time, Natalia?
So I lost the custody when my son was 6.
Okay.
Now, when my son was living with me, he didn't have those type of behavior problems. All
mm-hmm.
those new behaviors like suicide and threat assessments and hurting little girls and getting a piece of glass and running around trying to cut kids, all that happened under the father's care. So that's why I took the case back to court a year later, and I showed the judge all this stuff. And even like that, she didn't change the custody. She left the custody under the father's care.
Oh, my God.
And she wrote an opinion letter. So she didn't even follow the Virginia Code, the best interest of the child.
Uh-huh.
She decided to, and the father kept filing show causes against me to limit more and more of my time. So he
uh-huh.
would make up these stories, like these exaggerated stories, like mother goes to the doctor and she goes to the doctor and she argues with the professionals and she screams. And the judge just took his word. And even though the doctors went to the court and they said that, no, Ms. Dalton doesn't do those things, she went and took 3 weeks after the hearing to make me guilty of these charges.
What?
I mean, she twisted everybody's testimony to keep the child under the father's care. And she found me guilty of 4 charges. And my lawyer at the time was a very good lawyer in Fairfax. She's overturned Court of Appeals. She even said that I was not guilty of these charges, and she put an objection letter and she attached it to the order. I mean, saying
uh-huh.
that no, Ms. Dalton is not. But anyways, but you know, she's a judge, and I guess she could do whatever she wants. So unfortunately, and then one time I went to the court by myself on one of the show causes, and it was a hearsay. I didn't have an attorney, and I told the judge that I needed one. And she said, no, I want to hear this case anyways. So you know what she did? She told everybody
what?
In the courtroom to leave the courtroom, and she just wanted to hear me, the opposing party attorney, well, you know, my ex's attorney, and her. We were the only 3 in the courtroom.
Oh.
So,
wasn't
so
that special? Yeah.
I don't even understand why people had to even leave the courtroom, even my own witnesses. I mean, not my witnesses. People that came to watch me had to leave the courtroom.
Yeah. Yeah,
she
they don't want any
leave.
Witnesses. Yeah.
And there was no report recorder there. So
mm-hmm.
basically it was my word against these 2 people.
Right.
So she found me guilty of a hearsay hearing where they said father says mother's not giving son asthma medicine.
Oh.
So then now I wasn't allowed to go to doctors. I mean, they put this court order together. It's like crazy. I can only request documents 3 times a year. And now, even now till today, I haven't gotten any doctor's, you know, papers or any school papers because everybody's saying father says we're not allowed to give it to you.
Oh,
even though the order says 3 times a year, I can request these documents, but because
mm-hmm.
the father has sole custody, he says he doesn't want them to give it to me. So until today, I don't have anything on my son. And that's from the last hearing. So this father has violated the order over and over again. But my lawyers have always told me, you don't want to go into court and say that you, to show the court that you're the parent who's just going to bash the other parent. You want to go in more stable and show that you're willing to co-parent. So we're not going to file any show causes against the father. But here the father is filing show causes all the time against me.
Yeah.
So and this judge favors the parent who bashes the other parent. And she cares more about the parent who files show causes than the parent who seems more reasonable. It's really sad.
Yeah.
So then I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the effect this had to have had a deleterious effect on your son.
All
this to be going on and his separation from you, and how has he responded to that?
Well, yeah. So each order, each show cause, he asked that my time be more and more limited. So I got to one month of vacation, which didn't happen, to 2 weeks. Now he's asking that I don't have any more vacation. They're trying to take all my rights away. I mean, it's gotten so worse over the last 3 or 4 years. So, So after the last hearing, back in November, I had to go to the magistrate because now my son was reporting that the father was physically hurting him on his visitation. So he would grab him by the neck and force medication down his throat. He would twist his arms, throw him on the floor, put him in the bathroom, lock him in the bathroom in the dark where my son would be screaming. He started putting him on medication that nobody wants to tell me what this medication is for. And, like, he's taking 3 pills at once. And they keep saying it's none of my business, which I'm his mom. But, they're just excluding me out of his life. And because I went to the magistrate and filed a protective order in the court, the judge is basically not wanting to hear the abuse. And she's basically punishing me. So I had, because of all these lawyers and going pro se, unfortunately, I had to file bankruptcy because I got like over $40,000 or $50,000 in debt and lawyers that didn't really help me and really put me in a financial bind. So this last time I went to court, I didn't have a lot of money to go. So, and this judge has told me, don't you ever come back in this courtroom without a lawyer. So,
they have no right to tell you that. No right whatsoever to tell you that.
Yeah, I'll never forget that day. I wish I could have recorded that.
Mm-hmm.
So then when the hearing came up, okay, so when I filed the protective order, the father the next day filed a show cause against me. So basically it was counteracting because he got mad because I filed this protective order. So then he throws in a show cause the next day.
Oh.
Right? So in this one he's asking to suspend all my visitation. So get this. So I file in the magistrate. They put a 72-hour protective order against the father. Well, the next morning, the father's lawyer, who has a big reputation in that court, he goes in the next morning and somehow files some emergency hearing. Nobody notifies me in JDR and gets the case dismissed. And nobody notified me. And so it's dissolved. So I mean, my son was back in the father's house from school that next morning. It was less than 24 hours. And the night before, my son heard his dad screaming when we went to get his books. And the police officer had to restrain the father because he was so angry in another room while my son ran in and got his books. And that was the night before. Well, the next morning, my son's father went to go pull him out of the school. And nobody notified me. So I was in the Alexandria court filing a preliminary protective order, and all that was going on at the school, and nobody was notifying me, the father picked up the child or anything. I went to go pick up my son, and they said, I'm sorry, your son went home with his dad earlier. And I go, what do you mean? There's a protective order. No, somehow they got that dismissed.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it.
Didn't you tell me that they were charging you $300, extorting you? but $300 just to have visitation.
Right, right. So, yeah, for me to do the supervised visitation, I've already spent about $900. They're having me pay $300 a month to see my son. So $150 for every visitation.
And so who do you pay this to?
Huh?
Go ahead. Luann, were you trying to say something there?
I'm just, you know, this is her own child. I don't, you know, it's just ripping families off. You know, you have
yes.
to pay to feed your own kid. It's like Brian Kinter was saying. He had to spend thousands of $1 million just to see his own son. This is the same example of what's going on.
Yes.
What's really sick is the father has three child protective service allegations against him that people have filed because of the abuse. And then in the past, the father has taken showers with my son. And there was a time when he was touching my son's penis, and my son was saying his dad was saying, touch my penis. So I had to file a protective order at that time, too. And that's when my son was 5 or 6 years old. So there is allegations against the father, but nobody in the court will listen to me. So here I am punished, and I have to do supervised visitation because I'm telling the court he is doing things to my son, and he's the one who has CPS reports, and he's the one doing stuff to my kid, and he's the one with my son 24 hours. Oh, so get this. After I filed that protective order, he pulled my son out of school the next day, and ever since that day until today, he has not returned my son to school anymore. So my son now...
Yeah,
my son is at home now.
And so
nobody
has a problem. Yeah, nobody has a problem with this child not being in school.
I told the guardian at Lineham that he's sitting at home with his dad, and his dad is playing violent video games. That's what Ethan's telling me over the phone. That my dad is in one corner playing violent video games, and I'm reading and doing books from when I was in second grade. So I told the GAL that they assigned for 2 months. I said, could you please go and check into this? You know, my son is not what he... Until today, the GAL has not given me any information on his education. She won't even get... She says, oh, I'm going to go to the dad's house and I'm going to bring you back whatever I find out. She didn't bring me back anything. Actually, she's on the father's side. She wants me to go to jail next Friday. She only saw my son for 1 hour, and she didn't even want to ask him about the abuse. I told her, did you ask my son about the abuse? And she goes, no, that's not my job. I go, what do you mean it's not your job? I thought you were a guardian ad litem. You're supposed to do what's in the best interest of the child and ask them questions. No, ma'am, that's not my job. I'm not allowed to do that. If he wants to tell me stuff, he can tell me on his own. I said, what?
Really?
My son is 9 to 10 years old. What is he going to tell you on his own? He doesn't even know you. Well, you know, I gave him the opportunity, and he didn't do it. So, I unfortunately don't work that way. I'm not a mandate reporter. So, you know, CPS got involved too, right? Because the day that I did the protective order, CPS had to go. Well, I find out that the CPS worker is friends with the guardian ad litem. So they all went in and to the court, and they deny there was any abuse. I can't believe it. Even the CPS lady,
you know, offense, but this would be funny if it was not for the fact that it's so tragic. You know, it's like watching the Keystone Cops in a custody case.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's
horrible. The CPS lady went on the stand on the 30th, and she was in the stand, and she said, my lawyer was asking her questions, and she says, oh, yeah, I met with the mother, and she showed me pictures of abuse in the past. And when my lawyer asked her, did you see the child, she said no. She didn't see the child that day with the mother. She only saw him one time in the father's house, and when at the father's house, the child didn't say anything. Of course the child's not going to say anything in the father's house. He knows his dad is recording him. My son even told the CPS lady, because I was there, it says, oh, yeah, my dad records me, so I don't feel comfortable saying anything in his house. I mean,
why
my son
he
is very...
Why is he recording him?
I have no idea. His father records everything. He even records our phone calls. My son and
Good
I can't
God.
Even have private phone calls. He says, Mommy, my daddy's recording, and I can't press a button or he'll get mad at me.
Oh my God.
Well, I
mean,
I know.
And it's so ridiculous that no matter what I bring into that courtroom, they never listen to me. I bring them really good evidence, and nobody listens to me.
It's because they're making money off of you. You know, I mean, it may not sound like a lot, you know, when we say, well, you have to pay $300 to see your son. It may not sound like a lot, but multiply that by how many parents that they're doing this to. That's a chunk of money.
I met another girl in the Alexandria court, and she's going through the same thing. The same guardian ad litem who's doing the same thing to her, gave the child to the abuser, and now she's got to get supervised visitation.
Oh, wow.
It's not just one shot deal of the $300. I mean, each and every time that she has to go back in, she has to pay. It's a racket.
Right.
It's extortion. It's blackmail.
Yes.
You know, they hold out what's near and dear to our hearts, and they use that as leverage to extort you for every damn nickel that you've got. And if you don't have it, you borrow it, you plead, you go to your family members, you know, you get them, and they pay. And it's, as long as they can keep that racket running, it's the meter. And every time, let's just take more and more and more, and they just keep it's like a damn, what do they call that? A gerbil on the wheel, you know, just put it on the wheel.
Yeah, hamster wheel. The hamster wheel.
So they have my son on this medication, right? And so back in 2016 in the last hearing with this same judge, when she wrote that opinion letter, she told the father to not move the child out of the school, that in his best interest was to stay there because of the IEP, right? That was the whole reason why I don't have custody today. If you look at every court order, it says because of the child's in the school, they don't want to move. Well, since 2016, the father has pulled my son out of school twice. The first time was because they were going to start due process, like legal process against him because they didn't have the resources to help my son. So you know what my son did? He didn't follow the recommendations of the IEP team, who knows my son's need, who knows the proper school that my son needs for emotional disability. He went and put him in a where they had no support, and they almost expelled him. So my son spent a whole year in a school with no support, and his behavior got worse. He didn't get any help that year. And I presented that to this judge and this hearing, the last two hearings we had within the last month. You think she's going to care about it? No. I mean, she doesn't care about the evidence.
No.
You know, and then the father pulled him out of the Catholic school because I filed a protective order against him. And now he's sitting at home. I don't even know what he's teaching my son. I mean, it's ridiculous. Oh, and so I am not allowed to contact the doctors, right?
Oh.
I can go to jail if I take my son to the doctor. If I'm in another state and my son has a fever and I take my son to the doctor, I can go to jail for it.
Really?
So they made this. Yeah, it's so sick, the order. If you could see my court order, it's just disturbing. And so my son was having side effects, right, like from the medication, like seeing shadows in the mirror, twitching his body, twitching his eyes and everything. So I went, I started writing the father and saying, my son, you know, our son is doing this and that and that. Well, he ignores my emails. And this was going on for a couple of months. So I started blind copying the professionals because I'm not allowed to contact them, right? Well, these professionals come to the court on the father's side, and they print out the blind copy emails. And now I'm in trouble, and they're saying that I violated the order when I was trying to protect my son, because if I didn't protect my son, the medicine wouldn't have been changed. And the psychiatrist even said, well, because Ms. Dalton said something, now we were able to change the medication. Well, the judge says now I'm in contempt of order. She doesn't care that I was doing it to protect my son. She cares the fact that I contacted the doctors. So now the father's lawyer is saying that Ms. Dalton should pay $5,000 for each email she blind copied the doctors to. On top of $23,000.
Where did this $5,000 figure come from?
Because they're saying that one of the things they asked for is if Ms. Dalton's in contempt of court order, that she spend a certain amount of, for every violation, that she spends 5 days in jail, and there was some kind of fine of $5,000.
Oh, for God's
sake. As well, on top of it. So now his attorney's asking that I pay $5,000 for each email, which is four of them, on top of $23,000 attorney fees. On top of that, that I get punished for all the past violations that the judge has found me in contempt of, even though I'm innocent of, that I get 5 days for each of those violations. So it's a total of 37 days in jail. That on June 15, they want me to go to jail. I mean,
yeah, wouldn't you just one time want to see, like to see one of these judges perp walked into jail? I mean, I would just give anything just to see it just one time. This borders on such ridiculousness, and I don't know how they're getting away with this. We have hollered about this stuff and hollered about this stuff, and you know I just don't get it. Why this is going on? But you know, it's like we talked about earlier in the show, Brian and I. They're doing this, Natalia. I'm sorry. They're doing this all over the world. We hear from people in other countries, and they're talking about, we heard your show, and they're doing the same thing here. They're doing the same, everything from snatching the kids and these bizarre divorce courts and custody courts. And honest to God, this is the stuff of nightmares, to guardianship abuse. They're doing it everywhere. This is a global plan, and I am not sure what the outcome is supposed to be. I don't.
Well, now, in my case, they're expecting in 5 days, they're hoping to take all my parental rights, because they're asking that I have no more summer vacations with my son, that I only see my son for 4 hours, and I pay out of pocket $150 for each of those, for 2 hours, the 4 hours that I see him. So it's every other weekend, that I have
That's
no more
extortion.
Summer vacation. Yeah, and that I have no more summer vacation, that I have no more holidays with my son, that the only holiday the guardian ad litem says I should have is Christmas and Thanksgiving. And on those days, she says I need to hire somebody to watch me for 3 hours, and I have to pay out of pocket for those too.
Mm-hmm. And I bet it's somebody she knows, and who just happens to have a business doing that, yes. My God.
Yeah.
This is just,
you don't know how, you have no idea how much I cry. I even have nightmares at night that I'm going to go to jail for all this.
And who's this judge now?
Judge Lisa Kemmler.
Same one as Anastasia Adams.
Yeah, Anastasia. Yep.
She's the head chief judge of the Alexandria Court. I've mm-hmm. asked her many times if I can get my case moved back down to JDR. I don't know why it stays in circuit. And she keeps denying it. She won't let me move it. She's the only one that could approve of me moving anything.
Oh, God, this is just stupid.
Yeah.
Gee, I don't even know what to say, Natalia. I don't even know what to say.
Well,
I sent you
the order of what they're having me do, and that's what they're planning on doing. They don't want me to talk about my. So when I see my son, and even though I'm paying out of pocket, I can't even ask him how his day at school went. I can't ask him anything. You saw that order that they wrote, right?
Yes, yes.
I mean, it's ridiculous. They want to isolate me from my son completely.
Right. And ask him about anything about himself, holy crap, since you can't ask him anything about himself, that makes him feel like you don't care. You
exactly.
know what I'm saying? You know, it makes him feel like you don't care.
Well, also in the court, in the they're asking for in this next hearing that I have no more phone calls. The father's attorney said, "Oh, my client and his wife do not feel like being in the middle of the son's phone calls when they have to put her on speakerphone. So we would ask that she have no longer any more phone calls with her child."
What?
Yeah, so I'm not even – it could be possible in the next hearing that I cannot talk to my son on the phone anymore, ever again.
I just – holy crap. Have you tried, going to any of your state representatives or anything? Have you tried to, you know
– I wrote the president. Nothing happened there. I've tried to go to see Mark Warner because he's the one who appointed this judge into office.
Wow. I was wondering, the reason I'm asking is, I know Yolanda was working with a representative there, and like I say, it was the same judge, and she was getting some response from that. And I'm sorry, I had to shut my phone down there. I forgot to, but we got to do something here. This is just, and you know, I always what I think of when I hear these stories is backlinking these people. Who all are they connected to? Who all are they working with?
I want to know, how can I stop this before the next hearing? Because I could lose all my rights with my kid.
Brian, you got any suggestions?
Yeah, I want to tell you how you stop it. You go in and you sue the sons of bitches. You sue each and every single one of them in federal court. You go in and you sue them for violating your God-given constitutionally protected unalienable rights. Title 18, Section 241 and 242. Everybody says that it's a criminal charge and that you have to have a prosecuting attorney. That's bullshit. All you have to do is bring forth the allegations, get them into federal court, and it's a whole new ball game. That's exactly what the hell I did.
Okay. Brian, can we help her with this?
Well, you can give her my phone number, Marty. In fact, let me give it to her. Honey, you got a pen and paper?
No, I wish I did right now.
I'm sitting in a car because
But I wanted to tell you what happened in the last hearing. You know what the judge did? So my lawyer was doing his closing argument, and he says he's never in history been in a court where a judge is punishing a mother for pronouncing abuse. So this judge, every witness that I had that I brought into the court and I tried to show abuse was going on, she kept saying, "I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it."
Oh.
So
there's
a psychologist that does my supervised visitation. And she went in because my son was reporting stuff in our visitation. And she said, "Well, I had to call CPS because the child was telling me very disturbing stuff." And you know what the judge said to her? "Please do not tell me any more about what the child says. I'm not interested in hearing in this courtroom what the child says."
Oh,
so
what?
Anytime we tried to bring up the abuse, she would shut it off. And then at one point, my lawyer said he was doing his closing argument, and the judge, she went down from being her role as a judge, and she started defending the other side. She started advocating as the attorney for the other side. She started saying, "Well, Ms. Dalton is in contempt of court order. She did this and that. Mr. Lacayo said da-da-da-da." And my lawyer,
oh my God,
everybody in the courtroom go, "What?" Everybody's mouth just dropped.
Yeah, no kidding. How old is this woman?
I don't know, in her late 50s.
Holy cow. Well, you know, the older we get, the crazier we get, and she's evidence that this is true. Holy crap.
I felt like I was in a Jerry Springer courtroom.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Just about as much credibility. Yes. Yes.
And not only that, you know my judge was Lorena Bobbitt's lawyer?
Oh, God. Oh, no. Lorena, my idol. No. Oh, my God. She was her lawyer.
You would think if anybody understands the psycho abuse, she would, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Holy cow. Jiminy Christmas.
Well,
Lorena
I wonder if we should do a call to action to call up the courtrooms. And,
yeah.
You know, because we did that with Yolanda. Remember, we had a couple hundred advocates calling in saying, "Why are you doing this to Anastasia Adams?"
That's right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's a good idea. We should get the information together and actually do that, put the pressure on him. And especially because we did this with this same judge. And
what happened when you guys did a call of action? Did anything change with that Anastasia? Okay.
Yeah. they let Yolanda see her again. And they had prohibited her visiting there for a short time and wouldn't give any reports on her or anything else. And by the time we got done, they were more happy. They thought.
Oh, what happened? Didn't you say I was going to meet Yolanda on this call?
I was hoping she would call in, but she hasn't.
So she was going to try to come to court with you, but
yeah.
They already know Yolanda, and she's afraid that it would be worse.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I have to get as many people in that courtroom, and I can't seem to find anybody.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so, and I mean, the whole situation is crazy. And the guardian ad litem, she doesn't even know me, and she's, you know, there was two guardian ad litems, and the other guardian ad litem was really bad. And I that's kind of in my story. You know, she really ruined my life. But this other one, this new one that came on, she was Lisa Kemmler's friend, and she just went on the father's side. She doesn't even listen to me.
Oh,
and then
my
you
God.
Know what else she did? She went to have lunch with the attorney on the day of the hearing. How can a guardian ad litem go have lunch with the with my ex-attorney? I mean, that was like a joke. My mother says, "What is this woman doing? That's so unprofessional." She's supposed to be
impartial,
neutral, you know, like
yes, yep, and she's not.
And then when I walked in the courtroom, she was whispering in the other attorney's ear. And then when I came in, they all started laughing.
Yolanda had that same experience the last morning of Anastasia's life. She went in; she was trying to get a stay of execution. And when she walked in, here was the attorney for the hospital and the guardian and everybody else in there. When she came in, they started laughing. And
I mean, it's so biased and it's so sick.
It's cruel. It's very cruel. And, you know, that they would find any humor in this and either of these situations. We're going to have to do something here within the next 48 hours. To try and keep you from going to jail. You know, Luann, what I'm thinking,
uh-huh.
if we can get Brian helping her with the federal court thing,
right.
we could organize and have everybody call her representatives out there and
right.
start storming their offices and sending emails, doing whatever we can to get their attention. It isn't the first time they've heard this about this judge.
Right. And I think we need a big call to action. We need to get numbers down. We need to get everybody on this radio show to call in and
yep.
do something about this. If I was there, I would be picketing the courtroom. Picketing the courtroom like we did to the judge in Arapahoe
mm-hmm.
County in Colorado. We got families. We picketed. He stepped down. It was good. But this judge needs to step down or something needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't even care about my son. I'm bringing in all the evidence and the father's neglecting my son and causing him more harm, and she looks for every reason to keep him on and keep the child there.
Yeah. Wow. It just I don't know. We've got about 10 minutes left to go here, Natalia. Can you tell me, you know, kind of wind this up for us?
I pray that, you know, at the when I go into that courtroom that some miracle happens, and which I doubt it because this judge is always finding something wrong with me. She never wants to see the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that that the supervised visitation doesn't happen because I didn't do anything. I have no CPS report. I did nothing to deserve supervised visitation. I actually deserve all that money to be refunded back to me. You know what the judge also did? When I didn't have a lawyer back on February 2nd when this all started, I asked for a continuance. So I was on the phone, right, with the father's attorney, me, and the judge, and we were the only ones on the phone. It was a phone conference. And the judge, I said, "Your Honor, I don't have a lawyer." She goes, "Well, I need to hear this hearing for this show cause." I said, "Well, I don't have an attorney. Please, could you give me another month? I've tried every single attorney and nobody can help me." And she's like, "Well, only in one condition I'll let you find another attorney. you have to not see your son until the next hearing. And I go, what do you mean I can't see my son until the next hearing? What did I do? So basically, she honored the father's suspended visitation without even hearing anything about the case.
Oh, my God.
So she granted it to him. So
is your ex-husband good-looking or something?
No. He's not even from this country. I'm an American. He's from Nicaragua. He's from Central America.
He's one of those Latin guys, so that must be what it is. It got her head all spun around. Good God Almighty.
Marty, we need to do a call to action. We need to do a call to action.
Yes.
So what we need to do is get all the information, the judges, we need to, just everybody on the show needs to call in like we did with Anastasia Adams.
Yes.
And
you
just got to let them know this judge has got to go. Period.
Yes. And and we need to go after those state representatives out there. Start hammering them to get this woman off the bench. She's dangerous. She's dangerous.
Yes.
And obviously she's deranged. And oh, my God. I feel so sorry for your son.
My son is an emotional mess. I mean, they've destroyed him. He's not even smiling anymore. He's got anger issues. He's just very unhappy. He doesn't understand why he has to visit me in a room. He can't even go home to his other room anymore. He hasn't been home for 3 months now.
Oh, wow. That poor baby.
I have to sit in a library with somebody watching me.
Mm-hmm. I think we ought to put this judge in a library and have somebody watch her.
There you go, Marty.
Yeah.
I was thinking in a library. I was thinking more like in a cage, like where you put the monkeys, you know?
You know what we need? Yeah, what we need to do is go back to those public stockades and put them, when they start acting like this, put them in that stockade out there in public and let them just sit there and think about, ruminate on what they've done and said, and see if we can't do an attitude adjustment. We got to do something. This is just absolutely unthinkable.
It's just like, I liked what, who's the other person with Lulu? What's the other gentleman?
Brian?
The other gentleman.
Well, it's Robin and there's Brian here.
Right.
Robin. I guess I said Robin, right?
That's mighty. Mm-hmm.
He was saying the other day on the radio that he says that, you know, that they prefer to stay with the bad, keep the child with the bad parent because they'll just keep coming back to court. I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
But that's not what's in the child's best interest.
They don't care about your
child.
No. They don't care. Your child is simply the pawn that keeps the money mill running. That's all it is. He is to that court. He's just a pawn. And I'm sorry to say that to you, but that is what it is. And kids ain't worth money.
They're ruining his life.
I know. But see, what you're beginning to realize is they don't care. Honey, don't cry. Please don't cry. And please, I'll cry with you. Now, you don't want me crying. I get ugly when I cry. I do. It's true. Pathetic. I look pretty good on a day-to-day basis, Natalia, but you made me cry, and I'm telling you, we're talking major, full-blown ugly. And so I can't do that at my age, you know. And I have to preserve this for posterity. Is it my posterior? I'm not sure. Anyway, let's get this together. And
if there's anything that you all need, that I need to do, if anybody can give me an advice, I'm like, during this whole week, I kind of like cut my hours short because I'm going to have to keep going back and forth to the Alexandria court and submit documents. I don't know. I think I'm going to have to submit a show cause against the father so that they can see that he's in contempt of court order, but I don't think this judge cares anyways.
No, that'd just be an exercise in futility. But maybe we can get them to show cause why they let her sit on the bench.
Right.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
Let's turn the tables on this. We've got just a few.
Yeah,
who
appointed her was Mark Warner. I was trying to get an appointment with Mark Warner, but that's been hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Yeah. And let me think this over.
Let's put our heads together, Marty. Let's see what's going on.
Yes. Yes. And Brian, I'm going to give her your phone number as soon as, you know, we got off. I'll email her your phone number and contact information. And if you can help her with the federal end of things, because I'd like to see this judge judicially slapped up.
Amen.
You know, and see if we can get that ball rolling. Because I want to know, how do these people get on the bench? Were they when they get there? Or did they get that way after they got there? Were they crazy to begin with, or did they just go crazy after a while? I don't know.
Well, Marty, I'm not sure if you know or not, but one of the rules for the judiciary is that, you know, you have to be incompetent. You have – it's a prerequisite that you have to be incompetent. You have to have a narcissistic personality, a godlike complex, or you don't qualify.
I think you're absolutely right, too. See, that makes sense to me. It makes sense to me. Oh, gee, many Christmas.
I mean, I don't understand how she goes to sleep at night and feels okay that she's ruining a child's life.
Because
I mean,
she's a mother.
That's what you're missing. It's not about the child. It's about the commodity and what that child represents. That child
money is
cash flow. It's a cash cow. For that, every time that there's an infraction, she knows that your ex is going to do that, or the father of the child is going to do that. They weigh that stuff out. They knowingly know who it is by the – why do you think they send you all this dumbass testing for the ITP and the MCIs and all this other crap? They send you for all that so that they can do a proper analysis to figure out who's going to be the one that's going to provide more resources for the court. It's just a money pick. That's all it is.
Yep. We're down to three minutes here, and
this judge has a daughter herself. But
ew.
Oh well.
Ew. That's a scary thought. To think there's more of them, you know. And at least she didn't walk out a litter. But anyway, we got to wind up this. I don't think she did. We got to wind up this the show. Natalia, thanks for coming on. And Luann and I will get together. I'll get you hooked up with Brian. You start working on that part of it. We'll start working on the call to action, and we'll see what we can get done here, okay?
Okay, great. All right.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, honey.
Hanging in,
and
Natalia.
Brian, thank you for joining in with me tonight, Luann and Robin. It's nice that you showed up from your vacation. And I guess I must be special. And everybody listening tonight, watch our Facebook pages and our show pages, because we're going to have this call to action up. I'll have it up no later than tomorrow afternoon. I got to hook up some links here and make sure who we're going after. And we'll get this out and rolling. And in the meantime, everybody, try to have a good evening. And remember what I always say sometimes once in a while. You can't always choose who walks into your life, but you can damn sure pick which window you throw them out of. Anyway, y'all have a good evening, and I'll talk to
you. Okay,
you
too. Have a great
later.
Evening.
All right.
Okay, talk to you later.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. All right, thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.